say your word. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music. Oh, only good music. Something about the things you said stays in my mind. Makes me wanna sit down and listen to you. I listen all night. The melody, the arrangement makes my body go so crazy. I tell my feet, man, I love the beat. It's the way the music comes over me. The emotions I get, I won't fight. Sometimes the music is sure to make you cry, then dry your eyes. You know when the music is the way you can hide. Well, I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music. With only good music.
I tell Rihanna, please don't stop the music. Cologne strum my pain with the fingers. I could really use it. Quiet storms full of purple rain. My Sharia more lovely as a summer day. I'll let the whispers follow Marvin Gaye in my headphones till the music starts to fade away. I'd give away my brown sugar for a bit of pop. If love really was a bullet, I'd have took the shot. Yeah. Now would you buy me a drink just to take me home? Put your game in a song just to make me moan. I like my Robin Thicke, me alone. A thug album, triple shots, that's a trait.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. With only good music. With only good
Hello, hello. Welcome, everyone. I tell you, we got through our opening music, but I see that there is an error message flashing across our studio. So they're having problems with some of the audio. I could not start our show with our opening chimes. Now, all of a sudden, they may just jump in, or maybe not, but right now they're not working. But welcome to this edition of Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. Tonight is Chat Box Live. Normally it's a night when it's open chat. You can talk about anything that's on your mind. We're going to change up just a little bit this evening because I've spent the last week doing some damage control, and we have decided to change our show format. So tonight, before we get started, I want to give you some updates on a lot of things that are coming down. I'm going to bring on my co-host for the night, Angel Tyler. She's also one of my hands in the Wall Foundation Incorporated. We already have people who are chiming in this evening. Angel, are you with us?
I am. Great evening.
Yes. Before we get started, we already have someone on the line, last four digits 6901, who's on the line. Maybe they have something to say. So let's just welcome caller 6901. We're going to jump right into our show. So hello, caller.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. I was just going through. Actually, I was just flipping through, and I just decided to stop. I didn't really know what you all's topic was. I decided to stop and listen in. I don't really listen in a lot like I used to on shows, but sometimes certain titles. I'm a lover of women and respecter of women, so when I seen the show about women, I just decided to chime in.
So tonight is what we call Chat Box Live. It's a night of open chat where almost anything goes. So, and we love when males call in because it gives a different perspective on our topics. So, for instance, a few weeks ago we had a gentleman call in and we got into a very deep cerebral discussion about male-female relationships. And it was very respectful, but we got a lot of things out in the open. And you being a male, we welcome your perspective on almost anything, because we know that, I'm sure you've heard the stigma that men are supposed to be men. You don't cry, you don't have feelings, you don't, you certainly don't express your feelings. And we have this stigma that men are supposed to be rocks that cannot and do not hurt. So we always welcome the male take on that and the male perspective on that. And even if in a relationship, if you've ever been hurt in a relationship, we love to hear about that, because I tell you, we as women, our perception of how you all view things, many times it's distorted. It's nowhere near what we think it may be. So we always welcome gentlemen when they call in. And may I ask where you're calling from?
I am calling from Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Ah, welcome, Oklahoma. Welcome.
All right.
I'm actually a grandson of a survivor.
Oh, really? Yeah. If you care to share, feel free, because that's what this is about. Because if you read my bio on the show, you were just passing through, but I am a survivor. Angel is a survivor, but we come to it from, of course, the female survivor perspective. So you as a male, you saw it from a different angle. So if you'd like to share, feel free.
And you're a survivor of what, if I can ask?
Domestic violence and rape.
Well, you know, I grew up in a home where, unfortunately, domestic violence was a part of my upbringing in my house with my mother and my father. But I do have it did shape and mold me in a way where I have a perspective on women that sometimes has, I guess, when some women have been done wrong for so long and been done bad for so long. They've been losing so long, a lot of them don't know when they win.
Right.
And one of the things that happens to men sometimes, I can say it happened to me, I've never hit a woman, never called a woman out of her name, never cheated. But what it did do to me is, because in my past relationships, trying to overcompensate so much not to be like my father, I've allowed women to cross the line where a man should put his foot down. And you know,
right.
So now, because my mother told me, you know, I was always asking my mom, why do I have so many problems when I come to dealing with women like that? And she said, well, son, most women don't even, she said, unfortunately, in particularly black women, have never really had a man really love them the way they deserve to be loved. So when you come the way you come, it's foreign to them. It's suspect.
Yes.
And then she said, you give too much too soon and you don't make them earn it. And then the main thing she said is, you don't value yourself enough in those relationships with those women is the reason why that happens to you. Now, this is a woman who was physically, the reason why she has that perspective, because of what she experienced with my father.
Right.
Never said anything bad. My father's deceased now, never said anything about bad about my father in my presence or any of my brother's presence to my knowledge. Got married again, unfortunately. He was a clown, too. He's dead now, too. But my mother is the kind of woman, she's a godly woman. She's an ordained minister. And she's always been this kind of person. She's never, when I would see her and other men would try to talk to her when we were growing up, she was no nonsense. You know, I'm married. I got five boys. I don't have time for that. I'm sure you're a nice man, but no thank you. And so
right.
That's why I have this perspective on women. Now, I have my pet peeves with women, of course, but, I mean, that's why I view women the way I do. Like the young lady that I've been dealing with, she's never dealt with a man who hasn't tried to, you know, I've never touched her. We've never been intimate. And we've been together for a while, and we won't be until we get married. Something that she wasn't used to.
Wow.
That's
something that a lot of people... There's probably a lot of people listening right now that is saying, well, you have the one group that's saying, wow. Another group is saying, oh, I need to get with him. And, of course, you have the doubters. The people are like, he's lying. You know, these are the people that are ultra uber hurt who don't want to give anyone a chance. You're guilty before hello. That's what I always say. You're guilty before hello. And... you know, it's great that you're sharing this because you're bringing something new to the table that can be an example for some of these younger men out here. Because I don't know how old you are, but you do seem like, just from your demeanor and your voice, that you have some experience, whether it be age or life, you have some experience under your belt. So,
well, I'm 48.
Okay.
I'm 48. I did go to, when I was younger, I was a knucklehead, of course. Wasn't raised like that, but I went to prison when I was 24. Mm-hmm. Didn't get out until I was 34. And I got out. I learned how to actually cut trees while I was in prison, and I came out and turned into a business. So I have a tree trimming and tree removal business that I have employees and doing pretty good. I have a business partner. We're in the process of buying more. We're buying a trucking business. So I'm an entrepreneur. I counsel young teenage boys, you know, that have been in trouble or borderline trouble. You know, I do things like that. So yeah, I've been around the corner two or three times.
Mhm.
Yeah.
You know what? I believe, just from hearing you talk, you were probably the gentleman that found our show before. And we had that long, maybe two-hour discussion about relationships. Because you're also a speaker, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll do that.
Okay. It is you. Okay. Well, welcome back. Do you know how many times I have used that show as an example? Because tonight is only an hour show because, you know, we had some issues in the past, so in the past week or so, so we had to change up for tonight. But, you know, come back. We welcome you to come back because you bring a different dynamic to this. And to come back again and find the show after so many months, you know, I believe in that divine timing, and when it all comes together, I think that you're one of those callers who needs to be here. We need you to be that representation of the male role model on so many levels, and we have never forgotten the conversation that we had when you visited for the first time a few months ago. So welcome back. I thought that was you, and yeah, I agree with everything that you're saying. You know, we have so much to do here to heal and to get back on track. So hang tight for a few moments. I have some announcements to make about some upcoming events, and then we're going to get back into this for our last half an hour or so of the show. So just hang tight and let me just run through our events, and we can pick back up on this. But for those of you who are with us, welcome. As I said, tonight is a special abbreviated show, so I'm going to run through our events so that you can be abreast of what's going on here at Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio and, of course, the Wall Foundation Incorporated. So, of course, you guys know that tonight is Chatbox Live. And as you can see, we're already jumping right in. This is an abbreviated show, so I'm going to run through our list, redo it again tomorrow morning for our Sunday morning inspiration. So tomorrow morning at 6:30 a.m., Sunday morning inspiration returns right here on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. My topic will be Someone's Knocking, and that's at 6:30 a.m. And if you miss me live, you can come back and listen to the replay at any time. On June 13th, Arlene Spann is having a book signing from 3 to 5 p.m. at Colmar Manor Town Hall Rec at 3701 Lawrence Street, Colmar Manor, Maryland, 20722. And on 6:13 that evening, it's We Chat, Women's Empowerment Chat, right here on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio from 9 to 11. We'll be back on our regular show schedule. 6:14 at 6:30 a.m., again, Sunday morning inspiration. My topic will be Putting on Your Armor of God. And 6:16 on the 16th, we're going to be wishing the prayer warrior and host the Motivate and Pray show that airs at 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings. Marcella D. Moore is having a birthday. So we are, hopefully we're one of the first to announce it, and we will be there to wish her well on the 16th. On the 20th, we're taking a break, so there won't be any Spotlight Spectacular on the 20th. We'll be coming back the following Saturday. And June 21st, Sunday Morning Inspiration is back, 6:30 a.m., and my topic is Worldly Riches, Heavenly Dismisses. And then on 6:26, the Bio Tour is on the move again with Yay, It's Summer. It's a youth event with Angel Tyler. It'll be at the Linthicum Heights Library from 1 to 4 p.m., and that's located at 400 Shipley Road in Linthicum Heights, Maryland. And there's a $5 registration, and when you register, we have a special gift for you at that time. 6:27, 9 p.m., HTH returns. Healing Through Hurt returns with author Helen Wu. Her book, Self-Aid, Inspirations to Turn Struggles into Success. And that's with Helen Wu. She's the co-author of the best-selling book, Sexy with No Boundaries. And again, 6:28, join me 6:30 a.m. for Sunday Morning Inspiration. Tune in the next weeks. I'll be telling you what my topic will be there. 7:10, we have the Youth Beauty Games and Books, 11 to 2. At the Linthicum Library, again with Angel Tyler, and there's a $5 registration fee there. And on August the 8th, it's the Women Authors Expo 2015. The Women Authors Expo 2015 at the Miller Library in Howard County, 9421 Frederick Road in Ellicott City, 21042, with special guest Marcella D. Moore. And as I didn't announce it, but just so that you all know, we will no longer be accepting unscreened live callers here on Healing Through Hurt. If you'd like to be, if you have a question or a comment, you can. There's several ways you can do it. Join us on our show chat room. You can type it out, and I will read it for you on air. Or join us over on our Facebook events page. Or you can text it to me at 202-618-2556. And this is fundraising season. As you all know, Healing Through Hurt is sponsored by the Wall Foundation, which is an IRS-recognized and approved 501c3 nonprofit. So we have two fundraisers going. If you have a product or a service that you would like some free publicity on, you can buy a grid for as little as $10 on our Giving Grid fundraising platform. And that's www.givinggrid.com/healingbeyondborders. For just $10, you can place your company logo there. You can buy a couple of grids. We just got this started. You can go there and you can see one of our examples there. So you can just donate $10. We have $10 grids, $20, $30, and a $50 grid in the middle. And, of course, your donations are tax-deductible to the fullest extent of current laws. And we're also a certified charity on GoFundMe. And that's GoFundMe.com/thetimetoheal is now. We need your support because we have more requests coming in than we do resources to help everyone in need. So please, please join us. Giving Grid for as little as $10. $10. You can get a grid, put your logo up, put a few, buy a couple of grids if you want to. Put your logo up so that people, when they click on it, they'll learn a little something about you and they'll be able to do a search for you and find your product and maybe bring you some business and, of course, promotions. So either way, these are the two ways that we have. We also have the Macy's Shop for a Cause coming up. We do have the coupons for that as well. You can get 25% off of your purchases all day long with one coupon, and that coupon is just $5. So, again, we're back with Macy's this year for the Shop for a Cause. These are our announcements. Angel, did I miss anything? Because we have about 38 minutes left, and I want to make that matter as well tonight with our discussions.
No, I think you covered it all.
Your phone is breaking up.
How's that?
Yes, better.
All right. We're excited about the projects that we're moving forward with. Again, we have more requests than we have resources, so we encourage you to get involved in any way that moves you in your heart.
Yes, yes, very much so. And welcome. We have callers jumping on. Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Tonight, of course, our topics that we had to discuss is when we stand up, we get knocked down. What do we do about that? And this is leading into our discussion for next week and for our call. I'm sorry, caller, what is your name again? Ivan, that's it. The more you talk, it's all coming back to me, Ivan. I have it written down now. I know your number. Next time you call, and I hope you call in next week because it's going to be hot again next week. But when we stand up, we get knocked down. And it was so interesting that I thought about this topic for tonight because Sister Marcella Moore this morning on her Motivate and Pray show, she said, "Who are you?" She had gone to talk to someone about something, and she asked the question that, and I know, I believe that I've said this to you before, Angel, when I'm talking to people, I want to know who they are. And the first thing they do is thought, well, I run this organization, and I've done this, and I've done that. And I said, that's all great. I see that on your resume, but who are you? I want to know what's going on with people on the inside, because that tells me how they will respond when they get knocked down. It has nothing to do with their resume. It has nothing to do with them being, you know, the president of Fule Fa Fu Fu group over here, and they won an 88 triathlons. I don't care about that. I need to know how we respond, not react, but respond when we get knocked down. So, again, let's go back to what we were talking about, and tonight, again, we were talking about hurt, domestic violence, this man-woman thing called a relationship, an association. You brought up something good, Ivan, when you said when your mother was telling you or reading into your soul as a man, I found that so amazing because it's almost a mirroring of what we go through as women. If we take the time to sit back and we try to actually go deeper and face our true selves and admit to our flaws, then we can move forward. So, and I know that you and the young lady, you had spoken about her before, and I'm glad to hear that you are still together because she is slightly younger. Well, she's younger than you. And
12 years.
12 years, yeah. And in doing so, that in itself is, you know, that 10 years and longer, there's these generational gaps in between. But mm-hmm. I love the fact and hearing that you're still together. How is that working out for you? How is she, is she very accepting of it? Obviously.
One of the things that we make sure that we do is we seek counsel with people wiser and more mm-hmm. experienced in life than we do. You can't do this by yourself. It's a grave mistake when people, and see, it doesn't matter just because I'm almost 50, you know, she's 36, that just because we're a little older than most people that get in relationships and try to have something together doesn't mean that we don't need some help. Now, one of the things that I won't do is go to somebody who can't help me. I don't go to people who don't have successful relationships, and I don't do that. I talk to people who have been married for a long time. That's not to say that people who have been in failed relationships can't teach me anything. I'm not saying that, but when it comes to how to stay together, we a lot of times people make the mistake, in my humble opinion, is they prepare for the wedding but not the marriage.
Right.
I don't, you know, and so one of the things that we're trying to do is we seek out counsel, you know, with my mom and people like that, and you know, other people, couples. You know, my mom, even though she's not married, she's been married twice, and both of them are deceased, not because she divorced my dad, and then her other husband got killed. And then, you know, she's 73, going on 74. And so she has a lot to offer. And one thing I love about my mother is, if I'm wrong, she don't go with my side if I'm wrong. Boy, you know, that ain't about nothing right there. She'll tell me that ain't right. She doesn't take sides. If she's wrong, if the young lady that I'm with is wrong, she'll say that. You know? And so you have to have people, you have to get help. People, in my opinion, try to do this by themselves, and you shouldn't. You shouldn't try to do it by yourself.
Right.
Because a lot of times, the people that are in the relationship are so close to what's going on that you can't see. Sometimes you can't see when you're in error. Like, you know, when I was telling you all last time, when I couldn't understand why she just couldn't get it, and my mother said to me, "If you're going to be with her, you're going to have to wait until she gets it."
Right.
You know, and that was as plain as I could. When my mom said that, the light came on. I was trying to make it, like, why is it so difficult? She needs to get it right now. And like my mom said, she might not get it right now, but if you're going to be with her, you will, however long it takes her to get it, that's how long you're going to have to wait if you're going to be with her. And that made me leave it alone, and it brought peace to me because she said it in a way that I could grasp it.
Right.
And I'm glad she said it like that. Had my mother not said it like that, I probably would have messed the relationship up. Not on purpose. But just not understanding why she don't understand, and I probably would have pushed her away, pushing that issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I want to kind of jump in and let you know that you're definitely on the right path when you're seeking counsel from those who can be of assistance as you go through the relationship process. Many don't know that I too am in a second marriage. And my husband is 9 years younger than I am. So he is still, he hasn't yet reached 30. So so you're definitely on the right path. And I think that your mother, she gave you some well-rounded advice by saying that she may not get it now because you may not get it now either. But you're growing together, if that makes sense.
I'm not going to lie. I was very, very, very frustrated. And I took it personal, and it wasn't personal, but I made it personal, and that's why I got frustrated. It really had nothing to do with me. It's just where she's at in her life. And I, you know, I was like, well, man, she's 30. Why she don't get it? My mama said, boy, do you realize how long 12 years is? Not that she's immature, because she's not immature. But she said, you don't realize how 12, And then, you know, our lives have been, our lives are so different. She's been through some traumatic things in her life too, you know, in her own right. Some things that, you know, that, that a lot of men probably would have broken. And that's another thing. She's been through some things that a lot of men probably would be like, no, I'm good. But not me, though. You know, I, not that I'm all special or nothing. It's just that I've been through some stuff myself, and I know that you're not going to get no finished product. You're not going to get anybody perfect because I'm not perfect. And so I, and one thing I liked about her is she laid it out on the table to me. She said, if you can deal with this, you know, then we good. She laid it out to me, didn't hide nothing. And that was another thing that made me like, okay, she ain't trying to hide nothing and trying to be somebody or present herself in a, to be somebody that she's not. She's laying out all the ugly details.
And you know, Ivan, that goes back to what Maria was saying. When we first meet someone, you ask them who they are, and they don't go into the whole story of who they think they are, but actually who they are. And she, what she did was lay it out before you and say, this is who I am, accept me or not. And you made the choice and you made the decision to accept her as she was. So, like you said, your frustrations aren't, they became personal, but they're not personal because it was laid on the table.
Yeah. And that's what I have to, some of the things that she don't get right now is because of what she's been through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But,
it's called growing, and people hurt, and this is why Maria has been phenomenal in doing this show, is because they're hurt people. These are real stories, real lives, real hurt, and that's what we bring to the table is the raw and honest truth of what the hurt looks like, not after you got through the hurt, but what it looks like going through it.
She's like somebody there was only one other woman that I met like her, and she got killed while I was in prison. It was a young lady that I grew up with since we were like 4 years old. I was in love with her, but I never told her. Never told her that I loved her, but we grew up together, and she was a bleeding heart for her. She loved everybody. She seen the good in everybody. And she was with this dude that was he was a clown, and he told her, if you ever leave me or try to leave me, I'm going to kill you, and he made good on that promise. And I've never met anybody like her until I met this young lady that I'm with now. I thought I would never meet. I didn't think I'd ever meet anybody like that again. And I thought that you only meet that kind of person once in a lifetime, so I thought, until I met this young lady.
Well, you know something. What's for you is for you in this life. And then if the great I am determines that, you know what, the first time around was preparing you for this young lady, you know, we have to find that positive in all of the negative around us. That's what helps us to keep going forward. And, you know, for so many people, they have been living that script that they present in the form of a resume or a job application for so long, they don't know how to let go and become their authentic selves. And yes, the young lady or anyone listening, some people use their past as their reason for not moving forward. When in terms, okay, I can't change my past. What I do with my past is what will help to mold and shape my road for the future. So I can sit up here and say, I hate all men. All men are dogs. All men are liars, cheaters, and dogs. They make me sick, sick, sick. Because I went through this back in 1970. It's 2015, and I'm still talking about what I went through in 1970. And somehow, in my mind, I convinced myself that I'm right and it's okay. And then when I get older and I'm sitting here by myself unhappy, it's always someone else's fault because I'm still stuck in 1970 blaming everything that I did not do in 1980, 90, 2000 and beyond on something that happened 40, 50 years ago. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people do that. In addition to the fact that a lot of people live by that. They live in this little box. They stay in this box. And when they're there, they feel safe in that box. And to them, it makes it okay until it's too late. And then it's not okay, but it's too late. So what do you do then? You're by yourself. You're alone. You're bitter. Everyone who has someone you hate, you don't wish them well. You know, all of that comes into play. And that's where we have this breakdown in society. We have this breakdown in our own health. Because until your young lady or anyone out there who's hurting learns how to let go, first of all, rule number one, we have to accept our roles in all of it. And even sometimes our roles are that we were innocent as the driven snow.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's because we just did not see the writing on the wall, or what we saw was distorted. So we have to accept our role no matter what that role is. Most people, you say, you have to accept your role. I ain't do nothing. I ain't do this. He did this to me. Well, then your role is the fact that you stayed 1 minute and 1 day too long.
Yeah, and that's what my mother did. She took responsibility because she was with my dad for 26 years. And at the time that she left my dad, she said, I stopped loving your daddy 10 years ago when she finally decided to leave. Well, she knew she had to leave when I was like 20 years old. And by this time, I was packing pistols. And I come home from college, and my dad hadn't hit my mom since I was like maybe 14 or 15. And here I'm 20 years old. And so he got mad. He had gotten mad. And he punched his hand through the wall next to her head. And I got up and I stood in between them, and I said, man, I'm big enough to kill you now. If you hear that nine, I'm going to kill you. I said it just like that. And so my mom said to herself then, she said, I got to go. She knew that either he was going to kill one of us or one of us was going to kill him. And but you got two grown men, even though he's my father, we grown men. She said that was, she knew there was nothing she could do to stop it. So she said, I got to go. And so when my little brother graduated June 3rd, 1987. My mother's birthday is July 13th. July 14th, she was on a plane on the way to Houston, Texas. We helped her leave because he was sapping the life out of her. But her thing was, she knew, other than her life being sapped out of her, she knew that one of us, that was going to be a killing eventually, and she knew it. And so she had to leave. She left for everybody's sake, not just for her own sanity. But she knew that we had gotten to the age that if one of us decided to do something, there's nothing she could do to stop it.
Right.
And so, you know, you watch this from a child, from a little boy, all the way up until you become almost a grown man, you're watching some man pound on your mother. And you know what I'm saying? And you, when boys love their mama like that, you know, fortunately, none of us have been women abusers. None of us have never been abusive, but it was passed down in a different form. We've either not even been able to get married or stay married. So it had an effect. It didn't have the say. It didn't cause us to be abusers per se in the way that my father was, but it did cause dysfunction. Because now here's what I figured out, though. The older men in my family were all abusers. But what I found out, and this is why it's important to dig into your family history and find out why things are like it is, and you can find out why you're like you are. My father and his brothers, my grandfather was a sharecropper. And so when they were growing up in Fort Worth, Texas, because they had a Fort Worth, Texas, when they were growing up, my father would be out picking cotton, and my grandmother would be at home. My father was the oldest of three boys. When they would come home, sometimes they would catch my grandmother with other men. Now, my grandfather knew it, but she was doing it for money. But to them, mama's sleeping around on daddy. They never knew that it was something that my grandfather knew was going on. So to them, ain't no woman no damn good. And that's how they grew up like that. So all of them, my Uncle Cecil, my Aunt Kathy, killed my Uncle Cecil in 1976 because he was the most abusive out of all of them. So it was passed down. And see, when you understand why you're like you are and why things are like they are, you can better prepare yourself for the relationship that you come into. So when you marry somebody, you marry everything. You ain't just marrying them. You're marrying them and everything that come with them, with their family history and everything. And that's why you have to lay it all on the table to give a person a fair chance to decide, can I live with them living with that?
Right.
And sometimes people get married and got no damn business getting married, even after they've been told everything.
That's the truth. Well, you just hit the nail on the head right there.
Yes, like you said.
Some people get all hung up on the wedding and forget all about the marriage. We have one more caller, and this is a caller from a private number. Now, what are the chances of this being the young lady that called in before, and I believe her name was Ocean. I don't know who this person is, but they pressed number one, so private caller, do you have a question or comment for our discussion this evening?
Oh, yeah. I'm not Ocean. I'm a guy. My name's Jim.
Hey,
yeah.
Welcome.
So I was just having a question. You know how Bruce Jenner had that, like, surgery to turn become a woman?
Okay. That one right there. Sorry, caller. That's not what we're about. And I'm getting a funny feeling that they were about to say something that's not appropriate for our conversation. So we're going to move right along here. What were we talking about?
Getting married for no reason.
Yes. Yes.
Or marrying somebody knowing their history anyway. Yeah.
We have another caller. Now, caller 4632.
God bless you, sis. This is Marcella.
Hey!
Hello.
How are you?
How are you, sis?
I'm well, thank you. I got a few minutes in, and you know whenever I have a few minutes, I try to jump in or listen in, and tonight I was able to just hit one. And you know the part that I'm going to elaborate on and what you were talking about is that whole past thing. And you know I'm an advocate for understanding and helping people understand that your past does not dictate your future. And the great thing about our past, the great things about what we've been through, and I don't care how bad they were, how wrong they were, we have an opportunity today to take the lessons of our past and take them and create blessings out of them that will empower us today. I think what is most important when we're thinking about our past and thinking about the things that we went through, the so-called mistakes, bad choices, whatever the case may be, anything that has happened to you in your past that you feel has not empowered you right now, you have the ability now to just take a seat and look back and review and see what lessons you can get out of those things. See, Maria, you said a word that is so important. You talked about acceptance, and a lot of times we don't like that word. We don't like to embrace that word because it's so much easier to make excuses for the things that have happened or to be in that victim mode and that victim mentality. But there is so much greater to us, and because we have the ability to be great in our right now, we can just sit back and look at everything that we've gone through and find the lessons in each one and see how those lessons can be a blessing for you today. And one thing that I know for sure is that those things that you've gone through, those things that you've experienced, they certainly help propel you towards your purpose. So if you take one plus one and you add it together, you'll certainly come up with a two that will just bring so much joy to your life, that will bring goodness to your life and allow you to draw those positive things, those things that speak life to you, those things that empower you and build you up. But it's all about changing your mentality, embracing who you are right now, and just simply saying, God, I thank you for what I experienced in my past because I know that's the thing that has helped me become great today. And I just wanted to share that.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you. And I don't know if you were on when I first started, but I actually spoke about your show this morning. And people need to stop living the life of a script. they need to live their authentic selves. They need to look in the mirror and know who they are. Not just whose they are, but who they are. Some people will claim to know whose they are, but they are living that script that, as you spoke about this morning, when, you know what, someone asks you who you are, you can tell them about all of your accolades and all of your successes, but that's not who you are. That's what you've accomplished.
When
you know who you are, then that makes all the difference. And what, a part of knowing who we are is that level where we have to learn how to accept our roles, and whatever happens in our lives, no matter how minute that role may be, we have to learn how to come to grips with that, then how to let it go, release it into the atmosphere so that we are free to move on. And so many people don't get that. And your show this morning, because I told everybody about, you know, I did about Motivate and Pray, 8 a.m. Saturday mornings. But I, you know, you spoke such power. And I've always said this. And I, when I started the show tonight, I said, Angel, I know you've heard me say this. I want to know who you are. When I was helping my daughter-in-law years ago, when my son was deployed and I was down south with her and she was looking for a job, I said, okay, let's practice your interview ship. Who are you? First, I got the silence. If I talk to people and they can't tell me who they are, there's a problem. Not for me, but that should tell them that there's something that they need to work on. They need to figure that out. So that when someone asks who I am, I'm a broken person who's chosen the best pieces to put together to make a new masterpiece. That's who I am. And at no time did I say I was on the cover of magazines. I've been on television. I've done it. Because that does not matter. That's not who I am. That's what I've accomplished because of who I have become.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know the difference. We got to learn the difference of that, though.
Yes.
Most people don't know the difference, and that's what they'll do. They'll tell you what they got, but you know, all the stuff they done did, and they'll make their job, their money, they'll make it to who they am instead of just what they have. And it took me a long time. That was one of the things, coming out of prison for all of those years, you know, going in as a boy, 24 as a boy in this world, and going in and coming out as a 34-year-old man, I realized where it strengthened me at, but where I made the mistake at is not examining where it weakened me at. And it caught me by surprise and caused a great depression in my life once I realized where it weakened me at. And it was something that I didn't want to accept, because all I talked about is the strength that I gained from my prison experience, but not the weakness, because it does cause weakness too.
Right.
Yeah, it does. But you can conquer it. But if you don't acknowledge it, it'll catch up with you. It'll catch you by surprise. And that's what it did to me.
Yeah.
And so I had to wrestle with that, what you're talking about. And so once I started realizing where it weakened me at, then I began to work on it. So when I go into the prisons, that I do the prison ministry, I don't go into the prisons and do all that spiritual talk, and which is nothing wrong with that. But
right.
I don't do that. Most of those men are just as studied or more well-studied than I am because of where they're at, and they have time
right.
to do it. I go in and do, because that's how I was when people would come in. I knew the scripture better than most people who came in because all I did is study. So what I do is I go in and I do man talk, because all the spiritualism in the world is good, but I try to prepare you for what you're going to be faced with out here in this world. And the reality of it is the only problem that is solved when you get out of prison is that you're out of prison. Everything else, you got to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I can relate to what you're talking about. And that's when you have to realize who you are versus your circumstances. And who you are,
right.
who you are, and discovering who you are is what's going to allow you to navigate through this world as a result of your experience, in my humble opinion.
Yes,
right. Yes, and that is that's it.
Yeah. It's so awesome what you said about that, because that was a perfect example how you took your past experience. You knew what it's like to be behind prison. You know what it's like to be in there. You know what it's like. You know what the mindset is like. So you took that. You could have said, oh, you know, I lost all those years of my life, and it wasn't good, and it wasn't this, and I was locked up. No, you took it, and you said, you know what, this is the experience that I have, and I am going to make and allow and accept the fact that this experience can help me be speak life to someone else, and that gears you towards your purpose. But if we don't change our mindset and all of that, and it's like you said, and both of you just said, what happens, we hide behind everything else. We hide behind the spirituality. We hide behind everything, but then we won't go into the core because some of us, that's a painful place, but it needs to be a painful place because that pain helps you to remember the strength of who you are and how you came out of that situation. But that's truly who you are, and everything that you experience helped to develop you to be that person that you are today. It can only work for our good, but we have to be willing and ready and able to allow it to, because nothing is forced on us. All we have to do is have an open heart, a receiving heart, and just surrender. And when we surrender, it allows everything else to come. That's the difference between you and I and the person who's just sitting by the wayside just crying the blues and just saying, nothing works for me, nothing works for me. But they've never taken the time to sit and just evaluate their lives and embrace the fact that you open your eyes today. So if you open your eyes today, then you have an opportunity to make today a better day.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And that's so true, because so many people don't seize, what is it, carpe diem, seize the day or something like that. If you sit here and you know, and let's take this a step further. Okay, we get to that point where I'm going to be positive today. And like I said, you could talk all day about the positivity, but again, until you add actions to your words, they're just a stream of letters that were put together that mean nothing, because they're just dead words. Doesn't matter. If you get up and you say today is going to be different, but you don't make it different, it's not going to be different. It's not going to be different.
I have a question I'd like to ask all you women on here. Are you all mothers?
Yes.
Here's a question that I would like to ask you all, because you all are mothers. And it's something that bothers me that some women do. We had a discussion about this in a group I'm in on Facebook. Well, of course, you know, Father's Day is coming up. Now, I'm a father of a deceased child, but I'm still a father. And how do you all feel about women telling each other Happy Father's Day? Because they've been by themselves doing it. They've been raising their children by themselves. Go ahead. I just want to know, because I hate that. And I'm going to tell you why I hate it. I think it's disrespectful to responsible fathers.
Let me say this. I understand the thought behind it. I do understand the thought behind it, because I am a single parent, and my brothers, who I love dearly, for Father's Day, they always send me a text saying, Happy Father's Day, sis, we love you. I understand the thought behind it, because what they're saying to me as my brothers, that they watch me go through the process, doing it on my own and being everything that my kids need me to be at that moment. But the thing as a woman that I don't advocate is when women say to each other, or women say, I am the mother and the father. You are not the mother and the father, because if you were the mother and the father, you would be a freak. That's not how God created you to be. God created you to be a woman. He created you to be a mother. And although the father may not be doing what he's supposed to do, you are not in physical form a male. And when you do that, you take on something else that discredits, just like what you said, discredits males, period. And I had to speak at a forum, an Islamic Nation forum, and they asked me to speak on the value of a woman. And the first thing that I said when I got there, because there was a lot of women there and the energy was high, and I said, before I go any further, I need you to understand this one thing. Now, my ex-husband left me for another woman, and he did not serve my children as a father the way that I feel that he should. But there is no way that I am going to speak about the value of a woman by discrediting the value of a man.
That's right.
Because I do not believe that that is something that God has called us to do. So while I agree with this, I understand the thought behind it, but when we take on that arrogance in the way, because especially when we have sons, we don't want to walk around here trying to be a man and a woman when we're dealing with sons, because then our sons don't know how to deal with other men, because now they're looking at how their mother responds. They don't know how to be hard when they're dealing with women. They don't need to know if it's hard or if it's soft or anything. And we are ladies, we are women, and we should embrace that. And I believe, because I am a believer, I believe, and I had to get to this point, that everything that my children's father is not, that I trust God to be in my children's life. I raised them alone for 10 years. Their dad was in their life prior to that. I raised them alone for 10 years, and in that time, it was difficult and it was hard, but I am a woman. I choose to stay a woman. I am not a father. I'm a mother,
That's right.
I love them out of my motherly being. So it's a mindset thing that's attached when people say that. When women say that, it's a mindset thing attached too, because often it's filled with bitterness and hate, and because they're mad or angry. But no, again, while I understand the thought behind it, it is not something that I advocate, because there are good brothers out there who step up and they do everything that they're supposed to do in loving their children and loving their sons. And unfortunately, I just didn't get that one.
Right. Hmm. And let me say this, we're going to run out of time, and this show was set up to lead us into next week's show for Women's Empowerment Chat. I hope that you can all join us at some point, if not for the whole show. We'll be back on a two-hour schedule next week. We have about 2 minutes left in this, and just quickly from me, my response is that my son's father passed away last April 16th. He was an absentee parent, but naturally there were other outside influences, and my son was under the impression that I had done something to send him away. But in his last days, we didn't know. His son found him a year or so before he passed away. We did not know that he was sick, but I can say this. He paid up all his back child support before he passed away. We were friends. We were on respectful terms. His son got a chance to spend time with him at his funeral. All of the family members were there who told my son the stories that he was under a false impression over, and he learned a lot about our relationship that he didn't even know. But I miss his father. I respect him. He was there in the end to be a father to our child, and for that, he's his father. I was not his father. None matter what I did to try to raise him in his father's absence, I did what I could do to give him the best life possible as a woman, because I don't know how to be a man. Therefore, I could not be a father figure to him. I did go out and get him male role models and mentors to help him.
Right. So. Yeah. That's a good answer, because, boy, look at here. That right there, that chaps my hide. Good God, it drives me nuts. Now, maybe it shouldn't, but it does, though.
And Marie, I'm going to just kind of jump in there just really quickly. And a lot of times, like Marcella says, it comes from a place of bitterness, because on Mother's Day, I have many male friends who are single parents, and they don't claim to take on the role of a mother and the father.
No, they sure don't. Men don't do that most of the time.
Right.
So, yeah. So I'm definitely in agreement with both Marcella and Maria when it comes to the recognition of the mother's role and the father's role. And I've been in both places where my ex-husband, never once did I not make sure that our children recognize and honor their father. And when I got remarried and my ex-husband was an absentee father, my children on their own recognized my husband as taking on the role of their father. But now their father's back into their life, so it's all about honor.
Yes.
Yeah, that's something that I have to. That's a sore, because my son is deceased. My son would have been 25 if he was living. And just when I hear women, it's to me. Now, I'll say this. I respect and honor women who struggle and do it on their own because they've been forced to. I have nothing but respect for that. You have to respect that. But when I hear women saying, I'm his mother and his father, I just think that, and there's so much for being a father, there's so much disrespect for fatherhood anyway. I'm talking about responsible fatherhood. Doesn't get the recognition right. that it deserves. And so it just, to me, it just takes away from the men who are actually doing what they're supposed to do, whether they're married to the mother of their children or not. Just the men who have stepped up to the, or men that are not biological fathers, but like you just said, take on the role of a father. I think that just does those type of men a disservice, in my opinion.
Right. And you know what? This is a great ending point for tonight, because as I said, we're still taping. We've gone off air, but we're still taping, which is great, because as I said, tonight's show was meant to be a lead-in to next week's show, and I'm going to fine-tune that a bit so that we can continue with the Father's Day discussion. But I hope that you got the answers that you were seeking from three different women, from three different takes on it, because our end was the same, basically, but our means were slightly different. But we honor men. We honor men. We don't disrespect. We don't belittle, berate. For me, you're not the man that hurt me in 2008, 9, and 10. You're not that man that I was married to. So why would I, make you pay for the mistakes of an absolute stranger that you don't even know?
Right.
So again, I couldn't be a father. I could only tell him what I knew. He knows how to clean. He knows how to iron. He knows how to cook from scratch. Some things, and I don't like to say this, but he can do it better than me. You know, we don't like to let that go. But he can do all of that. He's a husband. He's a father. He grew up, not because some things I taught him, but the other things his male mentors taught him. And by the way, his male mentors were not males that were in the family, because none of them volunteered to step up. But there were people who were outside who I was humbled enough to go and search for, because I grew up in a household where all men were no good and dogs and this and that and blah, 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 blah. You know, once again, it was very one-sided. But I knew when I got older that something was wrong. So, again, I'm a mother. I'm his mother. He tells me Happy Mother's Day. And every Father's Day, if he chooses to remember his father, I'm not going to take that away from him. Even though his father was only in his life for a little less than 12 months or a little more than 12 months. Guess what? Mm-hmm. To my son, I'm sure that that's a lifetime. And I refuse to take that away from him by any means or circumstance, no matter what I did in his rearing. Doesn't matter. That belongs to him and his father.
Right. Well, I'll say this, it's very refreshing, because being a black man in this society and the way that no matter what we do, we get the hell beat out of us. When I hear it does my soul good when I hear black women speak positive. Now, that's not to say that you don't have a right to keep it real, because whatever faults we got, we need to hear the rawness from women, but you can be raw with respect, though. The difference in, you know, when I hear women keep it real but not disrespectful. Now, some men think keeping it real is disrespectful, and that was just, they just got a problem. But I respect a woman more when she keeps it real, keeps it respectful, because I don't like, one more thing I appreciate about the young lady I'm with, I said, be honest with me, don't lie to me, however you feel, say what it is, whatever it is, even if you think it's going to hurt my feelings. Because, you know what I'm saying, because I'm not perfect, don't let me go around looking or saying and looking crazy when you can say something to me. My ego is not so such as I can't hear and take, you know, direction from you. And, you know, when I said that to her, he looked at me like, what the hell? Ain't no man never said that to me. Because a woman, to me, is a man's sixth sense. Just like I think a man is a woman, we see things that each other don't see as men and women. And so we balance each other out. And so I tell her, man, if you see something where I'm in error at, I mean, confront me in front of nobody, just like I'm not going to confront you. But, man, say something to me. Don't let me look crazy. Because I'm really mad at you. I've been looking crazy, and you know I'm looking crazy, and you don't say nothing. I'd rather you risk what you think might hurt my feelings versus making me like a stool pigeon.
Right. And if it's and usually if it's the heel, it has to hurt first. So your feelings will heal. So everything will be okay. And if it's if the tables are turned, her feelings will heal too, if she allows them to. But you know, with any wound, if you keep picking at the scab, it's going to take longer to heal. But that's by choice. That's not by you know, regular nature. So for again, if anybody has any closing thoughts, because we're coming back for Women's Empowerment Chat. We chat next week. Sister Marcella, I know that you're busy on the weekends. If you can make it, wonderful. If not, sister, I know you'll be here in spirit. Thank you so much for being here tonight. But if you have anything that you would like to add before we go, we're just going to go right down the list. Marcella, Angel, and then Ivan, we're going to end with you, because I just love when you call in, because you just keep it real, and you help us make this full circle with that male perspective here on Healing Through Hurt, and I appreciate you for doing that. So, Sister Marcella, take it away, my dear.
Oh, it was just a blessing being here with you all tonight, and I get excited, too, when I hear that voice of the man in the circle with us tonight. And, brother, I just want to encourage you to keep doing what you do. I want you to be encouraged. And even when you encounter these sisters who have this mentality that they don't see it the way that you feel that they should see it, just bypass that and remember this conversation tonight and know that there are some sisters out there who appreciate you, appreciate what you do, appreciate brothers and men like you, because I believe that the breakdown in the family has been because we don't have our true brothers standing up. But at the same time, we as women have to be willing to support them in a way, because sometimes we tear them down more than society does. So when I hear your voice and I hear your heart and I hear your passion, and I speak that to you, and you represent all of the brothers who are on this earth and in this earth. So I just wanted to encourage you, because you're doing something awesome. You're doing something great. And God has not, nor will he, forget your labor of love. Keep doing what you do, and God is going to do something awesome for you. And know that even in the missing of your son, that there are some young men out there, God is going to begin to send you some sons that you can mentor here on this earth. And when you think about your son, you'll see your son in them, and you'll appreciate the fact that the things that you may not be able to give your son right now, that God is allowing you to speak into the lives of these other young men. So you be encouraged, and I celebrate you as a man today.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very
much. Amen.
Wow, wow. Tonight's conversation was so powerful, and Ivan, we're always thrilled when you call in, because you definitely bring a different dynamic to the table. So, and we're going to honor you for Father's Day, and as we go into our next programming and we continue to honor our fathers, I ask that you continue to be that model that young men need. And as a woman, I'm going to continue to be that woman that women need to be inspired, so that they can learn themselves and learn who they are for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. And let me say this before you speak, Ivan, is the fact that to you, that I'm sure that I'm speaking on behalf of all of us, is that our spirit honors your spirit, and we also honor the spirit of some men out there who may be perceived as being not so on point, because maybe our honor of them is just what they need to hear to get them back on track. So tonight, though, you're our special guest, and we honor you, and we thank you for being here. I hope you can join us next week, because when we come together, if you all didn't hear it earlier, as I said, come August the 8th, Sister Marcella will be here with us in Maryland. And if you think these conversations are powerful on air, wait till you see us when we come together in the real. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be something fantastic and awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. But we honor you. So we end this show with your closing words for the brothers listening and for the ladies out there who are going to hear this show tonight and those who will hear it, of course, in the replay.
Well, I would like to say, first of all, thank you again for allowing me to come on your show and speak. And the next time, she doesn't like to do a lot of talking. Hopefully I can get her on next time. That's my goal. She's not a person who does a lot of, she doesn't like to be put on Front Street, if you will. So she's not shy, but she's not like me. I grew up performing and doing stuff in front of people. So I would like to hopefully one day get on the show so I can let her actually talk to you herself, to speak for herself.
Right.
But I really it is refreshing. It does my heart good to talk to women. And I don't know if you all realize that when you do speak positive about black men, positive to black men, what it does to those of us, even those of us I've seen black men who have been cold-blooded thugs, but it took a woman or women to see something in themselves or themselves that they didn't see. And they did a 180, not a 360, because if you do a 360, you come right back to where you were. But to do a 180 as a result of something woman spoke into his life from the female perspective. And even though I'm in the healing process, when I talk to women like you all, it helps me become the man that I want to be one day, that I strive to be one day. You know, like I'm in a group right now called the Village Drum Fest. I mean, Nubian Heritage Arts, and I'm the only man that's been in this group for a long time. And so next week, these seven women that I've been on this panel with, they don't know what, they don't have any idea, but one of the women at the park, what I've been doing is planning. I'm going to give all of them a plaque of appreciation and a bouquet of flowers for being like mothers, sisters, and friends for all these years. I've been on this board with them, so I'm going to surprise them next week. And so you all remind me of these women that I'm involved with in this group. So that's another reason why I feel like I connect, because you all talk just like they talk, the same way. They honor men and respect the male perspective just like you all do. So just know that you all are doing the right thing, and that whatever men hear this, now sometimes we as men, we try to be so hard and we don't say nothing. I guarantee you there's men listening to this that have done some healing tonight as a result of listening to you women. I can promise you that. As a man, I can guarantee you that. And so that's what I'm leaving you with.
I thank you all. Wow, for being here. And you know, Sister Marcella, since you're still here, you might as well, if you don't mind, do what you do best, because I think we might need this tonight. You could pray us out. And this is my prayer warrior, y'all. Y'all just don't know. Don't matter what I have to do on the weekend, 8 o'clock a.m., I'm up here dialing in, putting in my little code, listening to Motivate and Pray. So you can just pray us out, sister. And then, again, everyone, I'll see you back here at 6:30 a.m. tomorrow morning for the Sunday Morning Inspiration. And how befitting that show is called Someone is Knocking. And, of course, we'll be back here tomorrow at 9 p.m. for Women's Empowerment Chat, for We Chat, where we will continue this. Sister Marcella, the mic is yours.
Yes, ma'am. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day that you have made, and as your sons and your daughters, we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for this time of conversation tonight where we were able to share our hearts and our thoughts concerning life, concerning the things that you have taken us through, concerning the things that we have overcome. And we just simply say thank you right now, because we understand that we could be in another place in our mindsets, but because we understand that you allowed our past to be what it was and that you have given us an ability to process our past in a way that we can learn lessons from it and take those lessons and turn them into blessings that will empower us today. We pray for every man. We pray for every woman who may not see you or see themselves in the fullness of who you've called them to be. This night, God, we cover them in prayer, and we speak the very life of God to them in every area of their lives. We will not believe the lie that say there are no good men out there, that men cannot step up to the plate, but because we know you and because we know that there are men and there are real men and brothers who are standing out there holding it down, doing what they're supposed to do, we join in agreement with their hearts and their minds this day. And God, we thank you for expanding the territories of our men and causing them to rise up and be the strong men that you've called them to be. And I thank you for the sisters. I thank you for touching us in a way where we understand the power of influencing that you have given us, and that we would nurture, that we would serve in a way that it would only cause your good to come forth. So we thank you for this format. And thank you for seeing Maria. We thank you for just this platform of being able to come together, God, and empower ourselves in word and in conversation. So we thank you for your strength. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your might and your wisdom. And we just thank you for all of the blessings that are manifested and that will be manifested just from this conversation alone. We thank you today. We honor you today. And we thank you that we are blessed because we belong to you, and we release purpose in our lives this day, and we say it is so. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, my. What a way to end the show. Thank you all for being here this evening. For those of you still listening on the line, share the show. Someone needs to hear this show, and they need to hear it from you. They need to know that you were here, and by you being here, they will listen to this show and get what they need, and so on, like that old commercial. So please share the show, like the show, listen to Motivate and Pray at 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings. If you're on Facebook, look up Sister Marcella, the Motivate and Pray Show. Get involved. Stay here. Get involved. Get involved. If you have a topic you'd like for us to talk about, let us know. We are here for you. We speak from our hearts, spirits, and our souls. So until next time, as always, be well, be blessed, and continue to pay it and pray it forward. Until next time, I'm your host, C. Maria Wall, a.k.a. the Mediator, the Shero at your ground zero, praying each and every one of you enough. Our spirit will continue to honor yours. Join us back here next Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for our scheduled We Chat, Women's Empowerment Chat. Until then, Sister Marcella and Angel Ivan, much love to all of you. All of you have a wonderful remainder of your weekend, and hope to see you back here again real soon.
Amen. Be blessed.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.